Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing. Always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true transparency pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
.748 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop, Kevin off today. And of course, with us, our producer, Jonathan Schaefer, who, by the way, did yeoman's work as a host in my absence. All right, let's bring in our good buddy, voice of the Titans, Mike Keith. Mike, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, when you're watching these OTAs, Who are you focusing on primarily?
I was watching a lot of receiver play because I want to see Adam Humphries, and I think he's all that he has cracked up to be. He had a great day yesterday from what I saw. And again, I don't know all of the assignments, but he caught the ball well and got away from guys, so I thought that was pretty good, the basics of football. I'm interested to see Corey Davis, because I'm interested to see if he can make the jump from year two to year three that he made from year one to year two. And I think he is doing nice work right now. I'm obviously interested in A.J. Brown because I'm like everybody else. I'm fascinated by him as a prospect. The other guy that I'm watching extensively, too, is Delanie Walker, because I think he is one of the biggest surprises of what we've been able to see in OTAs in terms of how much he's able to do and how good he looks. And then I'm kind of interested in seeing some of the linebackers defensively in the pass drills. I want to see what they're doing and where they're able to go. Obviously, Harold Landry is a much bigger figure than he was this time a year ago. I'm interested to see Rashawn Evans. Can he take the step to year two? And in the secondary, how are they sort of packaging guys together? Who are they looking at? And then how do the young guys look when they get opportunities? For me, with the fact that there's not pads, I'm more interested in the guys whose game is played a little bit more without pads, because I think that translates a little bit better in terms of just a very simple evaluation, which is all someone with limited knowledge like me can really take from these practices.
Mike, Marcus Mariota really hasn't had to deal with sort of a negative narrative about him going into a season and now this sort of a make good situation for him in year five. How is he handling all that when we know what's at stake?
He gets it. It's very clear he understands, as a quarterback, as a professional quarterback, as somebody being paid a lot of money, when you hear him answer the question, it's obvious that he understands what his job is and what comes with the job. I think he's doing a very good job minimizing all of that and just staying in his world and focusing on what he can control. A lot of the sort of cliche of it, which is what you would expect from Marcus. Obviously, you're never going to see him throw a fit and go off on the media and say, how can you guys be claiming this? That wouldn't be who he is anyway. But I think in terms of watching the day-to-day and seeing him in the halls and seeing the hard work that he's putting in, he knows. I mean, everybody knows. It's on the wall in our building. It's no secret. We're talking good to great. And that starts with number eight. If we're going somewhere in 2019, I think Marcus, and everybody knows, we need a big year from Marcus. So I think he's done a really nice job with it. I'm impressed from the start of this in April and May how he's just jumped right back in, gone right back to work, and had a good understanding of where we are as an organization. And that's what he's focusing on more than just Marcus the player.
Yes, Mike, I guess for me, talking about Marcus, you know, a lot of people use the analogy, oh, you bring in a former starting quarterback, that this will push Marcus over the top and he'll be who we think he is. Do you, I guess, believe in that narrative?
No, I don't. I think Marcus is the guy, and Marcus is the team leader. You ask anybody in our building what the perception is of Marcus, it's that he's the guy. They don't question his toughness. They don't. Some of the things that are discussed on the outside, which I understand, are not discussed inside because the players have a total buy-in in Marcus Mariota. And so the whole thing is Ryan Tannehill's good. I mean, when you go out to practice and you watch Ryan Tannehill, you're like, man, this guy's good. I mean, we haven't had a guy like Ryan Tannehill maybe ever. In terms of that backup role. I mean, certainly I think you'd have to go back to Kerry Collins in terms of the guy who could impress you the way that Ryan can. But it's two different discussions. You know, Marcus is very clearly the leader. The players think he's the leader. The coaches, everybody associated feels that way. And what Ryan's situation is almost on a totally separate path. If Ryan has to play, we can win a bunch of games with Ryan Tannehill. That's not going to be a problem. I mean, John Robinson upgraded us at that position. But I don't get any sense that there is any internal or external pressure on Marcus Mariota that changes just because there is a better player with him in the quarterback room. I don't think that's who he is. Mm-hmm. I really, really don't.
What about Ryan Tannehill? How hard has it been for him to adjust to not being the guy and in a backup role?
I've heard him say yesterday it's obviously been very hard, and I would think so because, I mean, he's been the guy in Miami since he got there. And you get a sense of him that it's very similar to Marcus, that players have a tremendous amount of confidence in him. I would bet, and I haven't talked to, you know, Miami Dolphins players, but I would bet that for all of the external talk about him in Miami, the internal talk was very similar to that of Marcus, that they had a great belief in him. He carries himself that way. He has that about him when he plays. He's a relaxed guy. I go back to Kerry Collins. I mean, he's got that Kerry Collins about him. When Kerry walked in our building, Kerry had been a starting quarterback in the league. He knew it, and he knew the job. And so I think that's a lot of what Tannehill seems to have. I don't know Tannehill yet personally. I've met him once and very impressed watching him work. In talking to people around the building that have had interaction, everybody to this point that I have discussed Tannehill with has just been blown away by the way he handles himself. He's a big-time pro. And again, it goes back to John Robinson upgrading us at a lot of spots, but I think certainly upgrading us at the backup quarterback position by a wide margin. And I mean that as no slap at anybody who's been here in the past. I say that more towards how good I think this guy is from a talent perspective.
Mike, thanks for stopping in. We'll talk to you down the line.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You too, bud.
See you.
All right, that's Mike Keith, voice of the Titans.